flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
306 DGS on KMOX. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Brad Young joins us. Hello, Brad. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, Dave. I'm doing great. Just recovering from some bronchitis, but otherwise doing great.
How bad is that? I don't think I've ever had it.
It took me out for 2 weeks. It was bad.
Ooh, damn. Damn. Did you have pneumonia first?
No, but listen, I was hoarse. And listen, lawyer that can't talk is unemployable.
Yeah, no kidding. That's right. Okay, let's leave. We're going to do three different segments with Brad here, but let's leave J6 for the end because the other ones are, frankly, more interesting to me. So you'll know because you're always Mr. I just read the whole opinion, but you'll know what the executive order was. But the one that was dealing with, hey, we're going to treat the cartels like terrorists, sounds like the plot of one of the Sicario movies. What does this mean and what does it not mean?
Well, of all of the executive orders that Trump signed, this one is probably the least controversial. What it means is that they are designated as terrorists in terms of how federal law deals with them. And there's different rules and laws and guidelines regarding how we deal with terrorist organizations. So from that perspective, it marshals more federal resources to stop that kind of activity. And again, if you look at all of these executive orders, I don't think a lot of people are going to have a problem with that particular order.
So would you expect there to be a real change in the war on drugs now, or do you think it's just window dressing?
Well, I don't think it's either or. I think what it is it's a way to objectify the passion that President Trump has about the border. So if you just say, listen, we're going to shut the border down, you can have difference of opinions about whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But when you say, oh, we're stopping terrorists from coming in, mm-hmm. it really frames the argument in a way that makes it hard to disagree. I mean, who's going to say, oh, wait, no, I'm in favor of terrorists coming in through the southern border? Okay, no one's going to say that. So I think politically, with my political hat on, this is just a way to reframe the debate in a way that makes it less objectionable.
Makes sense. And turning the Gulf of Mexico into the Gulf of America is probably the single most Trumpian thing I've ever heard. But it does beg the question, like, who can do that? Can a president's pretty powerful? Can a president just do that by executive order or change Denali back to McKinley? Is that for the legislative branch? I have no idea.
No, here's what we do know. This, and actually this isn't this is black and white what the president can do. The president can issue, and he did, the executive order stating that the federal government shall refer to the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America. However, that's not binding on other countries. It's not binding on Google to make that change. It's not binding on any international organizations because, listen, Mexico has as much right under international law to access the Gulf of Mexico as does the United States. And we also know from China that there's always disputes about what these things are called. China has a specific name for the South China Sea that differs from what the rest of the world has. So really, I think we're getting into a metric versus analog, you know, inches versus centimeters, where the U.S. will call it the Gulf of America, at least the federal government will, and the rest of the world will say, you know, we're not doing that. So that's what I see coming up here.
Same with Denali McKinley.
Well, I don't think that's as controversial. I do think most of America will go back to that, since that's what it was for literally generations. I don't see that as being as controversial as the Gulf of Mexico thing.
Brad, didn't prep you for this, but it usually doesn't matter. You're usually on the ball. What about the there are two genders, male and female, according to the federal government? That one does, seems like it's more than just where you can go to the bathroom, but it could have a great effect on a great many people.
I have no stinking idea. No, I do. But
would have been refreshing.
Sorry, I hate to disappoint you. No, literally, this will be challenged. And here's the interesting issue as I was reading through that executive order, because under the 14th Amendment, you have the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, and individuals have a right to be treated the same. You cannot discriminate against somebody. The Supreme Court ruled in 2020 in the Bostock case that Title VII for employment purposes means you cannot discriminate against LGBTQ. But that's never been applied to other government benefits. Mm-hmm. So when this eventually gets to the Supreme Court, it's going to be literally a 14th Amendment issue here about whether the due process rights of individuals is or is not being infringed upon.
That's going to be a huge case. Or case.
Oh, it'll be huge. It'll be interesting from a constitutional law perspective, Dave. It'll be fascinating.
What's the benefit of the present move? Like, is it purely political? Is there some end game that I'm not seeing with it, really with any of those last three? Like, what's the benefit of doing any of them?
Okay, well, let's look at the benefit that's articulated by the Trump team. And that is, and I've got to take you back to a couple of years ago when the Biden administration tried to change from sex to gender for the perspective of allowing transitioned men who have become women to participate in women's sports. Okay, this would eliminate that from happening. It would also eliminate federal funds going to universities to give scholarships to transgendered men or women, regardless of your perspective on that. But it would prevent federal funding for those types of scholarships.
Okay.
It would also, when you're talking about bathroom issues, it would also mandate that that men and women have to use the restroom assigned to their biologically born sex as opposed to their self-identified gender. So that's where it has an actual application. But where I think the litigation is going to focus on is the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment.
Yeah, that's exactly what I wasn't understanding is like what will happen as a result of that.
Yeah.
That's a good explanation.
And then on the J6, my understanding is about 1,500 people convicted of crimes revolving around January 6th have been either had their sentence commuted or pardoned completely.
Yeah, there's still some confusion here, Dave, because the actual number of J6 defendants is north of 1,600. So what we don't have right now is a complete list. So it's hard to make blanket statements. But here's what we do know. Some of the violent individuals who were convicted, like the Proud Boys founder and the Oath Keepers founder, I think it's Enrique Tarrio and Stuart Rhodes, those guys were planning actual destruction of property and individuals on January 6th, and they were released from prison today. So we do know that at least some violent people on January 6th have received pardons or commutations of sentencing. From my perspective, politically, that's awful. Now, when you look at the other people, when you look at the hundreds and hundreds of people who were just wandering around, I mean, you know what came to my mind is it's like if there was a nude parade in Wood River, you know, people are going to walk around and watch. You know, they're going to watch that.
You haven't been to Wood River in a while.
So a lot of these J6 people were just wandering around and watching. I've always been a little bit questionable perspective on whether they should be convicted of crimes, but anything violent, busting windows, assaulting police officers, planning violence, any of those things, those people do not deserve pardons or commutations. And I think there could absolutely be political fallout from that.
Brad, what was the legal basis that I think a lot of people had a challenge for on a lot of the J6 defendants, where it was they were using this illegal justification that felt like a big stretch? Was that a part of some of these convictions, or was that a separate issue?
No, a lot of those were taking the position that they were voluntarily allowed access to the property. So there was video of police officers opening the doors and holding the doors open for individuals who were just wandering in. And at that point, their defense was permissive possession of property, that they were allowed into the property. And so how could they violate the law if police officers were literally allowing them to come onto the property? That in many instances, that defense did not work because the police officers testified they opened the doors because it was a mob situation and they were trying to reduce the amount of damage done to Capitol Hill property. So that was the legal defense that many of them used.
What did you think of Joe Biden giving basically his entire family a blanket pardon?
Well, yesterday was the pardon palooza. I mean, you had both outgoing Biden and incoming Trump pardoning everybody. I think politically, it shows an abuse, just like I think Trump's pardon power is an abuse of the system when it comes to violent criminals. I think pardoning family members, who none of whom have been accused of any crimes at this point, just a lot of rhetoric, pardoning them gives the appearance of being guilty. But there's an interesting twist, if I've got just a second
here.
Sure
you do.
Here's the interesting twist. Nobody's talking about this, but I think I talked about it on your show when Hunter Biden was pardoned, and that's this. The whole idea of the Fifth Amendment means that you cannot be forced to testify against yourself because of the Fifth Amendment protections against self-incrimination. That disappears. That, quote, taking the fifth, unquote, disappears when you have a pardon, because you cannot be convicted for anything that you testify about. So if Congress issues congressional subpoenas for the Biden family to come in and testify, even though they can't be criminally convicted for anything, they also can't plead the fifth because they've been relieved of the burden of being convicted as a result of the pardons.
Hmm. Wow.
Interesting level.
What are we going to do if we lose Brad?
I have no idea.
I'll start reading again.
We'll make stuff up.
You can't have that.
No.
Can't have the picture books.
He's just too smart.
Thank you, buddy. I hope you feel better.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
So I don't know what this means, but my buddy Scott Rutledge just sent me
a picture of the outside of your house.
Yeah. The front page of MSN, and we're the top story on it. No One Dies Alone.
Really?
Yeah. Can you check that out?
I am.
I'll send you a picture of what he sent me.
MSN.
I wish I knew how things worked.
Let's see. What have we got here? We've got Obama makes comment to Bush.
Yeah, that's the one.
Did you guys see that, by the way, while I'm continuing to look this up, that there's supposedly a lip reader?
Yeah. I
on TikTok that saw Obama and Bush talking to each other at the inauguration yesterday. And he said something along the lines, supposedly Obama said something to Bush like, how do we stop what's happening here? And then Bush was just like, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know which front page it's featured on, but if you go to, if you search the topic, there is a story on MSN.com that's, I think they're picking up the KSK story.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know which page it is on the front. But I found the story.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
That's just fun that someone picked it up.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, quick break. Right back. DG Ask on KMOX 319. Welcome back, guys. DGS 323. If you're listening to 1120 AM, check out 98.7 FM. Now that I have a radio, that's what I listen to. Before that, I was listening on the Odyssey app, and that's still probably the best way to listen. You can stream, you can pause, you can rewind, you can podcast. Thank you to our millions of people, literally, who podcast each and every year. We had another great year in 2024, looking to build on that for 2025. So thank you. Tell your friends about the show. We appreciate it. I still can't walk down the street in Denver.
Yep.
Just
unreal.
Mauled.
Yeah. 500,000.
Please, Mr. Glover would love to stay, but he has an engagement.
500,000 people just lying in the streets looking for you.
Yeah.
When they hear that you're
disappointed
in town
on a daily basis. Mm-hmm.
You think that's a Bigfoot thing?
I'm kidding. I think I freaked my boy out, the Hobbit doctor.
At first, he was like, oh, no. But I thought it was because he was, because you could listen to him, like, even in his answer, he was a little bit like, well, you know, I wrote that book like 2.5 years ago. So, like, he's rethinking it. I think he was thinking, I don't have anything prepared on that, and I don't want to sound dumb.
He reached out, and he said he'd love to hear more about
that's cool, man.
About your foot encounter.
That's what I mean. I didn't take his reaction as, oh, not one of those guys. Because, I mean, he's the one making arguments for...
Sure is. He's making a bigger claim than
right,
I am.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So it wasn't like a suspicious reaction that I took. I took was, oh, no, I don't know enough about that, and I don't want to sound stupid.
Yeah, either way, it's interesting.
Yeah. You should have him back on again.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Remember back in... Did you guys ever have to write sentences as punishment?
Yeah.
On the chalkboard? Oh, yeah.
That sucked.
Yeah.
It especially sucked because you know how nails down a chalkboard is so grating to people. To me, it's the chalk on the chalkboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And back when I went to school, like grammar school in the 70s, and it drove me crazy because my OCD and my nervous tics were at a all-time high back then. But you couldn't say something. You couldn't. And even if your parents said, like, Dave has some... social mental issues and the sound of chalk on a chalkboard, they've been like... Wah.
The reaction would have been, too bad, so sad, yeah, sorry, nothing we can do about it.
Kidding me? Get him
we
some
have
earmuffs.
Chalk and we have chalkboards, that's the deal.
That was it.
I will say, that didn't bother me the way you're just talking about it, but the one thing I did like was the part that how it sounded when you would put the dot on the eye, when you would tap it, you like click. Tick, 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 tick. I like that. Yeah, I think you're right, Andrew. I think I had to do that a few times, too, where you had to write the same sentence like 100 times or 300 times or whatever it was.
My parents were big on that.
Oh, it wasn't my parents. It was my teacher.
Then you'd think you're smart, and you used like the one to make music that had like 5 different chalks in it. You could write them all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that didn't work at home, unfortunately. But, yeah, you would love to get that multiple one, right? God, that would have been great to have that.
What was your biggest punishment at home?
That was a big one, the writing.
Oh, really? At home?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's the one that I remember the least fondly.
You ever get soap in the mouth or anything like that?
Maybe.
Any of the old school Illinois?
If I did, that was like one time.
I think I got the belt twice.
Mm.
Just twice, I can remember.
Belt's no kidding around.
No. I mean, I was pretty young and I disobeyed a very direct order.
Mm-hmm.
Do not cross the street.
Mm-hmm.
And I crossed the street. It wasn't like a whooping. I think it was like, you know, yep, you're going to get 5 now. Boom, boom, boom.
Did I tell
boom,
you
boom,
I
boom.
Took the fly swatter?
No.
From my mom's house?
That's found cool.
It. So the fly swatter that I got whipped with as a kid was still in her damn closet. I'm 60.
That's great. And they built things to last, huh?
They sure did.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 334 on a Tuesday. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there. You have to frame that fly swatter.
Yeah, that is a pretty damn good idea.
Just as a reminder.
You know what, Dave? That is a great idea. I like that.
Is it one of the wire ones?
You,
like the wire handle?
No,
so that's the part you got.
That, we got the wire part.
You didn't get the flotty.
The fly's got the easy part.
Okay.
Yeah, try killing the fly with the wire part.
Yeah,
good
yeah,
luck
but
to
that's
you.
The, it's like a coat hanger thickness, right? Or a little thicker.
Yeah, a little bit thicker.
But whippy.
Yeah. Quite.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Quite
I should
switchy.
Say,
we all
yeah,
remember
say it's
those.
Flexible, right? It snaps.
Yeah. Was that your mom and dad's weapon of choice?
No, my dad, I didn't get it very often. But I always knew it was coming because my mom would say the famous lines, you know, wait till your father gets home.
And they meant it.
It was a belt.
Mm. Yeah, I was going to say that was, we didn't do it. I didn't get it a lot. I told Dave, I think I got it twice, but it was that. That was,
and you remember
that was the thing. Yeah, and you know what? I stopped doing stuff.
That's right.
Looking back, because I was afraid of my dad because he was the enforcer. But looking back, that poor guy gave so many cold whippings. Like, he would come home beat to death from a day of building and climbing scaffolds. And my mom would hit him with, you know what he did? He blah, 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 blah. And my dad just be like, bend over.
Right.
I mean, here it comes.
That is the better version. The calculated one, not the rage one. You shouldn't hit your kids in anger. You know, I mean, I didn't spank at all. I didn't have to. My kid was good. I didn't have to do anything like that. But at times I deserved it. You know, like but it was never done in that outburst of anger.
No,
it was, this
never.
Is the plan. This is the consequence of this action. I'm explaining
cool,
it to you.
Cool, calm, and collected.
You got five swats or whatever the number would be, and that's what you're getting. It was not the, damn it, kid, get over here. Like, that's different. And I'm not a spanker, but I don't think I think there's a difference between them.
Yeah, oh, I agree, and I got both. More of the rage stuff, more of the like grabbing you by the wrist, and then you're trying to run away, and you're spinning around, and here comes the, you know, the whippings, which is why I never spanked, because I didn't trust myself.
I get you.
Yeah,
get you.
Just like, you know what I went through, I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
so.
I didn't think it was necessary, and again, I had a pretty calm kid, so I don't, you know. Like, I was very calm, so I didn't get it very much. My brother was nothing but temper tantrums and things, and he got it more than me, but it didn't really change anything. So I saw that, and I'm like, well, I mean, it didn't really change his behaviors too much. Maybe this is not really all that worth it as I get older.
You're a thinker.
Well, I mean, I didn't think that when I was a kid. I thought that when I was becoming a parent. And when I was a kid, I was not that afraid of my dad. When I was older, I was much more afraid because, again, I knew he would carry through on whatever threats were, and the threats were always what I cared the most about.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, I didn't, at the time I was 14 or 15, I didn't care if they smacked me. Who cares? You know, I'm old enough, it doesn't hurt that long, you're fine. It was more like, oh no, I don't want this thing taken away, this privilege taken
away.
Canceling
a girlfriend.
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Right.
Take the car away. Right. Makes sense. What about 24 hours, Dave, till we're back in the livable temps?
Yeah, livable. Tomorrow we're like 25 degrees warmer in the afternoon. It will be a very cold start in the morning, but we're talking like 35 degrees, and there'll be a wind from the south. That's why we're warming up a little bit. So it's still cold, but it's not like we're 9 degrees right now. It's not like that. A couple of snow flurries around Wednesday night, probably late night, not a big deal. 25 for the low. That actually will feel pretty good. Thursday, a bit of a changeable sky. A couple of snow flurries in the morning, 34. 14 Thursday night, Friday partly sunny, 35. Saturday is the warmest day of the week by far. We're ahead of a cold front all day long. Partly sunny skies, at least 47 for the high. That's going to feel warm. And then Sunday, a lot of clouds around and about 40 for the low.
Okay. Got a couple of headlines for us?
Do a couple of headlines.
You seem to dread headlines.
I just feel like I'm not. I don't feel like I've improved since last time, and I just don't think I'm good at it. So it's just like, you know, I'm just like, oh, I hope I do a good job.
Give it a little more confidence.
Hope I do a good job.
Soup it up, man.
Yeah, just make it your own.
Do it in a British accent.
You know, we'll slam you if you don't do a good job. So just do a good job.
Yeah, see, Dave's got that belt waiting for you.
Yeah.
You just wait until Dave gets home.
Dave Murray's snapping a belt.
That's where you should hang the fly swatter, in the studio.
Dave Murray's like, go ahead. I'll let you know if I have a problem. The World Health Organization expressed regret over the United States' decision to withdraw from the organization, urging reconsideration. The U.S. joined the WHO in 1948 and has to provide a year's notice to leave, so I guess we're in it for at least the near future.
Can I tell you what this says to me?
Mm-hmm.
It says to me about me, I know very little. And the way that I would describe my knowledge in this lifetime is I know a lot about a lot of topics, but 99% of what I know is mud puddle deep. Because when I heard that we were withdrawing from the WHO again, I didn't like it. But then I really thought about it. Dave, I think you may have said this once, that if you can't talk intelligently about something for 60 seconds, just shut up. And yeah. I realized that I couldn't. I know what World Health Organization is. I know what it stands for. I know basically what it does. Why we should be a part of it. I cannot speak intelligently for more than 60 seconds. And it really brought that home to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that about a lot of topics. Yep. And a lot of topics that I probably get pretty passionate about, that if you really file it down, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
This is going to be a big hit to the WHO because we are the largest single donor to them. So they are losing essentially a like noticeable part of their income. Seems like something you shouldn't do. But again, I can't speak knowledgeably about it for 60 seconds. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
What we need to know is what are we paying versus what everybody else pays?
Yeah.
Well, we and could also we could
what are
also
we paying
ask,
versus what are we getting?
We could also ask the question
that's true too.
That yeah. Why did every administration prior to this one think it was a good idea from creation? Because, I mean, they know more about it than we do, too.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, I would like just a better explanation for why we have to get out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when the precedent is we've been in this for a long time and all of these very important people from both parties over the course of how long have decided, no, this is we should be in this. If we're changing that, I just like a good explanation, not just, well, we're not doing that anymore.
Mm. President Donald Trump has brought back military flags for each branch of the service to the Oval Office, which were removed during the term of President Biden. He also made changes to the portraits and busts in the Oval Office, replacing some of them with the images of Washington, Hamilton, and Jefferson. And a bust of Churchill that Biden took out has come back. And a bust of Cesar Chavez that was in there for some amount of time has been taken out. Weird that Biden would have gotten rid of the Churchill one. I don't know what Churchill would have ever done to Biden. I mean, they probably were probably schoolyard friends.
Yeah, right.
most importantly, though, of course, is that Trump has reinstated the Diet Coke button.
Oh.
That's sort of the news of the day.
None of those things bother me.
The big red button? No, not at all. He can have whatever pictures and statues he wants. And I think the Diet Coke button is a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
I have no issue with that at all.
I have one issue with it. It's not Diet Mountain Dew.
Yeah. He should get like a Mountain Dew Zero.
Yeah.
You know what I've recently discovered is, so I quit one of my rare doing something halfway decent for my own health in my life up to this point, was that years ago I stopped drinking orange soda. Because orange soda has like double the amount of sugar as any other soda. It's got like an absolutely crazy amount of sugar. Sunkist Zero tastes exactly
super
like
good. Yep.
It tastes exactly like the orange soda that you remember, and it's got no sugar in it. It's dark magic. I have no idea how they would have come up with this. But I discovered that over the weekend.
It's the aliens.
I want to share it with everybody. I'm so happy to have orange soda again.
Back in your life.
Back in my life.
Nothing like a McDonald's Orange High C.
Yeah, that one. I miss that one. I'm missing that one hard.
Was it Prince? Who was the Queen's husband?
Oh, Prince
was
99. Charles?
He said if he took one drink of a McDonald's Sprite, he would have he'd have been gone.
It's too crisp. It's too strong. It's too got too much punch. Judge Eileen Cannon has blocked the Department of Justice from sharing Special Counsel Jack Smith's final report on Trump's classified documents case with select members of Congress, ruling that it would infringe on the rights of his former co-defendants.
Whatever. We all knew what she was going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really shocking to anybody, I don't think. Pope Francis criticized Donald Trump's plans for mass deportations of immigrants, calling it a disgrace and expressing hope that America would remain a welcoming land of opportunity. The Pope made these comments during a talk show appearance in an official telegram to Trump on his inauguration day. I can't believe the Pope is sending telegrams to people. That's crazy to me.
I can't believe he's doing a talk show.
And he's going on Letterman, and then he's sending a Morse code. Francis emphasized the importance of building a just society without hatred or discrimination and reiterated his stance against policies that target migrants. This aligns with his longstanding advocacy for the rights and dignity of migrants, urging governments to prioritize their protection and integration. Well, what do you guys think about that? Do you think the Pope has any business getting all up in our face?
I'm not Catholic, but Maureen and Phoebe are both Catholic. Wheels is Catholic. I have great respect for Catholic people and of the Pontiff himself. That being said, it seems like a pretty easy job. Like the public part of your job, I'm sure he has a huge administration, and I'm sure it's a difficult job in many ways. But when your job publicly is to say the most obvious Pollyannish things, mm-hmm. like we shouldn't be fighting these wars, and you should be doing this, you should be doing that, easy to say.
Yeah, there's a minor South Park character that was in a couple episodes, a superhero named Captain Hindsight.
Yeah.
And he shows up whenever a building's on fire, and he's like, you see that building over there? You shouldn't have built that building there, because it makes it harder for the firefighters to get into that building. And then everyone's like, wow, thanks, Captain Hindsight. And then he flies off. And that's kind of like the Pope to me. Like, you know, we pass a bunch of legislation about migrants or whatever, and then he shows up, and he's like, ooh, you shouldn't do that. And it's like, all right, thanks, man. Do you have a better idea? Do you have a solution? Or do you just want to tell us what we should and shouldn't do and then not offer any actual solutions of your own?
Yeah, I have a lot of, I mean, like I guess I joke that I'm Catholic by birth. I haven't participated in the game in a really long time. And part of it is things like this. I don't think religious organizations should be commenting on things other than their own organization.
You think they should stay in their own yard?
No, just as an example, you're a non-political, and I'm not saying you don't speak up for human rights or you don't try to help people or whatever, but I don't think anybody who is affiliated with a religious organization should be getting into politics.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are supposed to be separate, right? The two things. And it's one thing to guide, it's one thing to offer, hey, help, we'd like to help you, or can we convince you? But you're in a position where you don't pay taxes to anybody, right? Again, by our system, we want to separate those two things, religion and government. So we shouldn't have as much crossover as we do. And if you do want to play in the politics games, well, then you guys can pay taxes. That's fine. You can be just like the rest of us.
Agreed.
I know it's an oversimplification. Yeah. I get it.
The Pope should have to pay personal property tax on his license plate.
Well, he lives in the Vatican City. You don't have to worry about that. He's all good.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right.
351 DGS on KMOX. Kev, sports ball, what's going on?
Sure. What do you want to get into, man? We got the national champion crowned last night. Ohio State beat Notre Dame.
Went about the way you called it?
Kind of, yeah. I didn't care. I don't like either team, so I wasn't rooting for anybody. But I did think Ohio State was the better team, in part because they can actually throw the football forward, and Notre Dame does not do that particularly well. I thought Ohio State almost gave the game back in the second half because they went so ultra-conservative. They were so careful in the fourth quarter, they almost let Notre Dame back into the game because they were dominating in the first half just by being aggressive.
What letter grade would you give the first 12-team playoff?
It's an A. It did exactly what it was supposed to do. You took a bunch of teams that were all good enough to have an opportunity, and one team won it. I mean, it did what the NFL playoffs do every year. It took a team that had earned a spot and allowed them the opportunity to earn the title of champion. And it's the first time that's really happened in college football.
Yeah, I guess I didn't understand the big kerfuffle because every playoff I've ever seen or been a part of, the lesser teams play the better teams. That's what seeding is.
Early on, yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then you get...
And you have the funnel effect.
And I know I went on the rant the other day. We just saw that in the NFL playoffs this year where the first round games, the wild card round games, were blowouts. Okay, that's fine. That's part of... Sometimes happens in playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in the NHL playoffs or in the NBA playoffs, the first round series are over quick.
I saw that Houston like took out a whole page ad or something telling Bregman come back to Houston.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it doesn't directly affect us, but of course it's the whole third base sweepstakes.
Yeah, we're still waiting on the Nolan Arenado thing. And what we have to find out is, A, once Bregman picks a team, Do the people that are bridesmaids in that pursuit, do they turn their attention? And are those teams of interest to Nolan Arenado? But there's another part to this. So the Cardinals came out over the weekend. So both of the DeWitts talked yesterday. Mo talked over the weekend and said that if they don't trade Nolan, they don't have to trade other people to clear payroll. So they're even if they have Nolan, they're fine. They don't need to go out of their way to cut payroll any further than that, which I read as, well, now they also are admitting that they could eat more of the contract from Arenado. So maybe with all of the teams that he would go to, with all these teams that maybe weren't interested a month ago when the cost was higher, if they are going to say, we will take on more of the cost, what do you think now? It might actually open up some doors that might have appeared to be closed.
Do you think if we open ourselves up to paying more of his salary and we trade him,
yep,
that a significant part of the fan base will complain about the fact that we're eating more, or do you think they don't care about that much?
No, I think people just care about the product being good. And they would
agree.
And I know there are people now that care about the payroll coming down. It should right now. This is the time to do it. You want to clear the slate for Chaim Bloom when he comes in. When he comes in, you don't want him to have to do any of the dirty work of cutting payroll or getting rid of veterans or whatever. And you want him to have some room to work. So if you're spending on multi-year deals now, that's room he will not have to work with when he takes over. So I think this is it's absolutely the right time to do it, but they do need to get back to where they were at some point moving forward. You got to gradually work your way back up. But here's the other thing on the Arenado side that plays with this money thing. If you eat a lot of that money, you might actually get a quality return. Mm. The more you eat, the better your return will be, and that would be my focus.